I stopped, and the next thing I heard was, you have to unlearn what you think you know in order to get what I'm about to show you. And I thought, that's the Holy Spirit talking to me, and he's telling me to get the chip off my shoulder and open my mind.
Thank you for joining us this week for the Wealth Builders Podcast. I've got a very special guest with me today. I have Ray Patterson, who is the coordinator for Caris Business School and our newest Wealth Builders Business Coach.
Thank you, Karen. I really appreciate this opportunity to be here.
I am so glad you're here. So Ray and I work together in the business school. Ray's a coordinator, I'm the assistant director, and Billy's a director. So we are always like communicating about things. And it's just so fun, Ray, that now you're gonna be joining us on the Wealth Builders platform as well as a coach. And you know, Ray does a phenomenal job with the business school. He is, you are such a great, you're really kind of a father to the class. I guess I would describe it that way. And so patient, so knowledgeable. And you know, sometimes with education, people come into the classroom and they don't have practical knowledge, but that is not the case with you. You have got business practical knowledge and experience.
Yes, I do.
So I'm sure we'll unpack a little bit of that so people get an idea in this podcast as well. But we're really looking forward to this discussion. It's going to help us to unpack the business model canvas. And Ray, I don't know if you know this, but that's one of the biggest like number of downloads that we get on Wealth Builders is about the business model canvas. And it is the core of what we do, and everything springboards from that with the Caris Business School. So why don't you start out and just tell us a little bit about your business history, maybe a little of your story so that people can get to know you who might not already know you.
Thank you. Yeah. The brief version of my story, and I do have a tendency to go on, but I will make this a brief version. I started my working career with 5 years active duty military.
Which branch?
In the Army. I came in as an officer. I went through ROTC and was commissioned a second lieutenant in a quartermaster corps, supply. My assignment took me to a manufacturing arsenal in Watervliet, New York. The Watervliet Arsenal, and it's the only heavy wall cannon manufacturing facility in the United States.
Goodness.
Making cannons and tubes for tanks and artillery and that kind of stuff. I was working in logistics supply. After my 5 year active duty, I actually went to work there as a civilian running the supply division. That was my introduction into leadership at a mid and senior level. I had about 130 people in my division, and I got into that position at a very young age. After my civil service time, I spent a year and a half at Lehigh University in an industry and government-funded, industry-led think tank.
Oh my goodness.
That brought competitors together to work on the very thing that gives them competitive advantage, and that's how they deal with change.
Wow.
So I started to look and work in organizational change, and at the forum we had Ford, General Motors, Chrysler, Texas Instruments Defense Electronics Division, Motorola, Westinghouse.
Big names.
Big names that were coming together to actually collaborate on doing things differently and change. This was in 92 to 94, or 94 to 96, sorry. And then I left the forum and started my own consulting business, consulting in strategic planning and implementing organizational change.
My goodness.
And so I did that for military as well as civilian businesses, large businesses, small businesses. And so that gave me a variety of business background.
Absolutely.
And I did that literally up until I came to Caris And now I'm still doing it, but now I'm doing it with students. And that's what I really love.
And I can tell that too, just in the classroom, right? You just love being that mentor, helping people. And one of the things I always just like, wow, you can bring correction, but you bring it in such a way where you're firm, but they know you love them.
Well, thank you, Karen. I do, and I always look to the students, and I call them my kids.
Yes, you do.
This last year, I had a couple that were older than I am.
Yeah, your kids were older.
So I referred to them as my siblings.
But, my goodness.
Bringing that breadth of business experience, and I just love doing that. And I really believe that's what God spent 50 years preparing me to do, is what I'm doing right now.
That is so great. Yeah. And I got to see it a lot. Billy has seen it. And then when we really needed to expand our business coaching, because we've got a phenomenal, by the way, Wealth Builders business coaching program that I would recommend to any of you starting a business or wanting to scale up your business. And we've seen such great results. But anyway, we were growing. And when I was just thinking and asking the Lord, like, who is our next coach? Ray absolutely came to the top. And you always attend the Wealth Builders events. So we're just really happy to have you.
Thrilled to be here.
So great. So I think your background has really helped everybody understand the strength, and really your compassion and your desire to help people. Yeah. And one of the topics that is really important to understand, and you teach it so well, is the business model canvas. And so if you don't know what the business model canvas is, you really want to pay attention to this, or maybe you know what it is and you haven't necessarily dug into it to the level that you want. But Ray, I would love for you to just explain what the business model canvas is. Maybe share your first introduction to it, right? That story. So tell us about that.
Well, I was attending the Kingdom Business Summit at Caris. And I had a few years of my own consulting business. And I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder about, I've been here, I've done this, we'll see, And I heard the business model canvas taught, and I thought I was paying attention. And I gathered the material, and I went through that and went home. And I pulled out that material and started looking at it, and it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't follow it, and I didn't recall what I had heard. So a year or so later, I was back for another business conference, and I was literally ready to walk into the auditorium, and I heard an audible voice say, "Stop." And it didn't sound like Billy. So I stopped, and the next thing I heard was, "You have to unlearn what you think you know in order to get what I'm about to show you." And I thought, that's the Holy Spirit talking to me, and he's telling me to get the chip off my shoulder and open my mind.
Wow.
And I replied, "I will do the best I can." And I walked in and I heard Billy teach the business model canvas, and it made perfect sense to me, and it connected with everything that I had done, but it was a more expanded, robust model.
Wow.
And what I discovered was that I looked at the paper I had taken home, and I started to try and read it from left to right, instead of starting where it properly starts, in the middle, with the value proposition. And I've pondered that and studied that. Why does it start in the middle?
That's a great question. Do you have an answer?
Well, the answer that again the Holy Spirit revealed to me is it starts in the middle because it is central to everything you do.
Wow.
It is the core of your business. It is to describe the core of your business. And then on one side you have the marketing. On the other side, you have the operations, and at the bottom, both of those contribute to the financials.
So good.
So that made perfect sense.
Do you know, Ray, something in your story that's just standing out to me too is that before you were maybe letting the Holy Spirit know, okay, I'm going to listen and sort of like that step back humility. Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting how after that decision that you were able to understand it and things made sense?
It was crazy phenomenal.
Wow.
Good. Yeah.
And I think that is a tendency, you know, for a lot of us. I was in banking for 25 years before mm-hmm. I moved out here to Colorado. And I had learned a lot under really great leadership, Christian leadership.
Sure.
But the word of God being brought into things as well, you know, inviting the Holy Spirit in to help like you did, mm-hmm. there's a whole level of additional wisdom and illumination and understanding mm-hmm. that's available to us. So I really love how you shared that and how key that was to you kind of having this world open up to you.
It is. It just, being open and, you know, I use this with my consulting clients,
yeah.
You know, and with the Wealth Builders team now, yeah. We have to remind ourselves to be open and to say, God, show me the best you got.
So
just
good.
Tell me, let me be the vessel. And that's the way I have approached it ever since. When I came to Caris to do third year business school, I had felt the Holy Spirit tell me, you know, Ray, that business stuff you do, it's not bad. But it would be so much better if you firmly understood my principles underneath it.
Wow.
And I started reading the Bible as a business book.
Oh, give them your acronym. This is really good.
Well, we've all heard that the Bible is an acronym, or I suspect we have. And we've heard its basic instruction before leaving Earth. But the Holy Spirit, when I started business school, said, well, that's good, but here's another one. It's brilliant instruction that business leaders execute.
That's
and
amazing.
The focus on execution is key.
That's so good. Can you, I'm putting you on the spot here a bit, but I think you can handle it. Can you give a scripture that you would say, hey, this is a scripture that I've really stood on to help me to unlock some of the truths in the Bible on business?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is Habakkuk 2:2.
Yes.
Write the vision, make it plain, so that people who read it can run with it. And it's for an appointed time. So that tells me several things. One, we write our business vision mm-hmm. and our value proposition, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
And that's not just for us. That's for our whole team so that everybody's aligned and so that they can run with the vision and we don't have to stand over them.
Yes, with every little thing.
Exactly.
Right?
And it's for an appointed time, which means it's for sometime in the future. It's not necessarily right for today. We're going to execute toward that on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But it is for an appointed time.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying this podcast. We're so pleased to have you as a part of this. I want to encourage you to like and subscribe to this channel. That really helps us to get this podcast out to more people. And we want to grow it. And I know you want others to learn about this too. That's really good. And
so.
Billy, we were doing this webinar this morning. And we were talking about this and talking about how when you actually invest in yourself mm-hmm. and in your situation, you went to Caris Bible College, you went to business school,
yep.
and now you're the coordinator. But when you invest in yourself, you actually have the opportunity to put yourself in a position to make that appointed time earlier
Absolutely.
Rather than later.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes people read that and think, oh my goodness, it doesn't matter what I do. When it's God's time, it's going to happen. And there is a timing with God, but there's things that we can do to be prepared so that at that earliest time,
Absolutely.
We're ready to go.
Yeah, whenever that time arrives and
yes.
being prepared for it, it looking for the vision, having the vision there, helps us recognize when that time is. Mm-hmm. Because without that vision, the opportunity can pass, and we're not prepared for it. Mm-hmm. People tell me in every setting I'm in, you know, that it's like, well, God's going to provide this. It's all God's. It's all His hands. It's all His timing. And my response to that is, but what are you doing to be prepared so when that time arrives, you know it and you're ready to step into it?
That's so good. We have a part to play.
Absolutely, we do.
That's really good. With vision, too. Paul Milligan has something. He says he's in the business school, one of our instructors, and many of you know Paul. But I just remember him saying this: culture trumps vision every time.
Yes.
And there was something that you were talking about with vision, keeping it before people. And if the culture, if the people in the organization are not aware of the vision, they don't see it as a priority, things aren't run through it, the culture can take a different direction and it can kind of hijack the vision.
Yes.
So can you comment on that a little bit? Because I think there is more that has to be done than just like, hey, here's our vision, we're going to stick it up on the wall and put it on our website.
Yes. One of my experiences in my consulting days with the government was working for an Air Force colonel who had been promoted into a position that was a worldwide mission and had people, both U.S. military, civilian, and foreign nationals working around the world. And he was sent in with a mission and a direction that said, you're going to take this organization from over 4,000 people worldwide down to less than 1,200 with no change in mission and no change in volume of work.
Oh, wow.
So this was a massive business process re-engineering effort.
I would say so.
And what this colonel did, the wisdom of at that time, Colonel Mansfield, now he went on to become General Mansfield, he's now retired, but he made sure that he worked as much on culture of the organization as he did creating the vision, and as he pulled the team together to create the vision. Because one of the things that we discovered at the Agility Forum when I worked there was that you can make a lot of money in a business being number two, three, or four in your market space by following what's going on, but you're never number one. The people who were number one, the companies who were number one, were the companies who were creating the change that everybody else responded to.
Interesting. So they were leading this.
They were leading it. And what I got deep into was understanding the role of culture in doing that. So if you have an organization that is creating the change, your people need to understand the vector direction you're going in, but they also need to understand that you don't know the exact pinpoint where you're going to.
Yeah.
So that culture needs to be able to deal with ambiguity. If you have a culture that is very regimented and the leadership wants to be the changer of direction, the employees think the leadership are idiots. Because they don't have faith that the leader knows where they're going. So you have to, if you're going to be an innovative company or an innovative organization, you have to be able to set the vector direction, the end goal, but allow for people to come alongside and help you with that.
That's so good.
So it is very much where culture can keep you from getting where you want to be if you do not have the right culture.
Wow, that is so good.
Yeah,
culture is really important. And vision, I know I had really great leaders at one of the banks that I worked at. Mm-hmm. And every meeting, we would start out talking about the vision, the mission. We had values and we had norms. But it was, we had four mergers in 5 years.
Wow.
And so just think about that from not mm-hmm. only a perspective of trying to get all our systems aligned, but from a culture perspective. Mm-hmm. And they knew to lead with vision.
Absolutely.
And once you get everybody that believing in that vision, then at least they had something to follow that would guide their day to day, something to accomplish. That's really great.
Yeah.
So Ray, when we look at the business model canvas, mm-hmm. I know you know this like the back of your hand, there are 9 boxes in the business model canvas. So maybe just give us a little overview of what the business model canvas is, being a business model.
Sure.
The format of it and what those 9 boxes are.
Yeah.
It's like a quiz, right? It's like a quiz here, right?
Yeah, such a quiz, yes. I feel like I'm sitting for a master's thesis panel.
On BMGC.
Now, the business model canvas is really, it's a tool.
Yeah.
It's a tool that lets you describe your business idea in a very thorough way, but very briefly, on one piece of paper.
That's the beauty. One piece of paper.
One
piece
of paper.
We can do this.
Yeah. So it starts in the middle, trying to see if I can visually describe, but look up the business model canvas and you can find it on the Wealth Builder sites. But it's a 9 block, starts in the middle, across the bottom of the page, about a quarter of the way up, one line. And then above that, right in the middle, is the value proposition.
Yeah.
And that talks about who we are, what is our product, what is our service, who are we providing that to generically, who's our customer segment that we're going after, and what are we doing different than our next best competitor. And everybody has competitors.
Yeah, a lot of times we want to say, oh, I don't compete against anybody, but that's not the case.
Well, the other one is that I assure everyone that one of your competitors is your customer because they can choose to do nothing. So at a minimum, you've got that competitor.
That's really good.
And then what do you do differently than your competitors in the market space? And at what cost or price do you value your services? And I'm not talking about $250 an hour or, you know, $5,000 for this piece or $20 for that piece. What I'm really talking about and leading the students to understand or the business folks to understand is that you're either pricing on a price competitive market, which means you're in a red ocean, you're fighting for margin, and you're fighting for market share. Or you're operating in a blue ocean strategy where you've figured out what everybody else is competing on, and you compete on something entirely different.
Yeah, find the gap, right?
Exactly, in that market space.
Yeah, that's really good.
So all of that gets wrapped up in the value proposition. There's a particular syntax, as you know, that we use to do that, to get very laser focused on what is our product, what is our service, what is our value that we're delivering. And we have to remember that we bring value to the marketplace.
Yes.
Not ours.
Yeah.
You know, I had to learn that when I was first consulting. I was thinking, oh, it's so much an hour. Well, then I realized it depended from a consulting standpoint how much thinking I had to do.
And experience.
Exactly. If I'm doing something that anybody can do and I'm just doing that to fill some time, I price that at one level. But if they're really looking for the expertise that I bring, that's a different price point. So even in my consulting business, I had different hourly rates. I rated by the hour, but I actually worked by the job. I bid all my jobs as fixed price.
Yeah.
That way the customer knew. But getting that's the value we're getting there. Into some yeah. different weeds. But so there's the value proposition. Mm-hmm. We talk about the customer segment, and that's, as you're looking at the canvas, way over on the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. And that is, who are our customers?
Yeah, our target market.
The target market. And we need to get very specific at that, particularly as we start out. Mm-hmm. So that we know how to spend the limited resources we have to get to the right people to get that revenue stream turned on.
Yeah, and that's tied to the value proposition.
Exactly.
And one of the things we always share with people is one thing we can tell you for sure is everybody is not your customer segment.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I put it this way. Anybody can be potentially, but that's who walks through the door, not who you're going after.
Yeah, and we tie in the marketing into it. Can save you all these steps, can save you so much money and bring revenue to the bottom line mm-hmm. so much faster.
Absolutely.
Because you're doing this on the front end, understanding where your gap is in the market with the value proposition, yep. where you position yourself, everybody knows. Yep. And then you go after the right people that actually would look at your product, service, business, whatever, and find value in it. Mm-hmm. And boy, saves a lot of money in marketing when you know who your customer segment or
exactly.
target market is.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people getting into business don't yeah. spend enough time zeroing in on that primary first segment.
Yes.
Once you get those customers mm-hmm. and you build a relationship with them, mm-hmm. then you can begin to make sure you listen to what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And that helps you increase your product line or your mm-hmm. service line to the point where you can leverage those customers and provide more value to them.
Yes.
As well as go look for new customers.
Yeah. And I think too, you can kind of tell listening to this, we're skimming over the top, but in the business coaching and even in the business masterclass with Wealth Builders, we go into quite a bit more detail. There are layers in mm-hmm. each of these boxes that you can go in.
Yes.
And with complex businesses, you can have multiple BMGCs.
Oh, absolutely.
But it is like, in a way, it feels sort of like a supernatural tool. I mean, once you go through it mm-hmm. and you can't tackle, at least I can't tackle all 9 boxes in, you know, one day, your head's kind of like, oh my gosh. But if you kind of piece it out and you take it step by step, mm-hmm. by the end of it, you've got this incredible understanding of either how your business needs to start or how to make it profitable, or opportunities that are missed. There is something in that it reveals so much information really is almost a blueprint for how to go forward.
It absolutely is, and as you know, we talk about and encourage people mm-hmm. to build a zero canvas, mm-hmm. that's your startup, mm-hmm. because that has a particular set of activities you need to do in order to just get up and running.
Yes.
And then you have a 6 months or a 1 year canvas where you put yourself into that time frame, and then you think about, okay, what are the activities? What's changed? Has anything changed in my value proposition? Mm-hmm. Has anything changed in my customer segment? Maybe I've learned from them. Mm-hmm. I've tweaked that. I look at the channels that we use to yeah. get to those, which is another one of the 9 blocks. Then I look at the relationships, mm-hmm. that how do we build the relationship with that customer so that we have recurring revenue, not transactional
yes.
revenue. And all of that drops to the bottom line mm-hmm. in the revenue streams. And as we're looking at those customers and our products and services, that helps us to look at, what are the opportunities that are lazy assets that I'm not getting revenue
yes.
from that I could?
What's in my hand, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you know, we had a coaching call yesterday. We've got business coaching and we've got advanced coaching. And one of our, you can't go to advanced until you go through the 1 year of business, but one of our advanced coaching clients is a local builder, construction, remodeler. Mm-hmm. And just what you were talking about with revenue streams to find recurring revenue. Mm-hmm. We talked about that at the beginning, and he was thinking through, okay, what do I have in my hand that I can use to create recurring revenue? Mm-hmm. And he said he just launched it. Wow. So it's like a service part of his business, sure, where people pay every month, and in response to that, they agree to do certain services and mm-hmm. things. So what you're talking about, no matter what type of business you have, when you start asking these questions and unpacking things, yeah, it's amazing how many revenue streams are sitting in there.
Amen.
That you can do.
Definitely.
So we're just about out of time. Uh-oh. And so I want to just clarify. We've got the value proposition you mentioned, the customer segments.
Yes.
Customer relationships, mm-hmm. which is, I think that's one of my favorite because it's kind of like a little challenging. So can you just give us a quick definition of that box, customer relationships?
Well, the customer relationships are how much do you know about your customers, mm-hmm. and how much do you want to know so that you can provide the service in the way they want to receive,
yes,
it as much as the way you want to deliver it. You know, it's we could get off on a rabbit hole of McDonald's versus Burger King. One, you get it their way, the other, and you get it your way.
Yeah.
Right? And,
yeah,
and so there is that point of relationship. And the more you know, people do business with people that they like to do business
so
with.
So true.
More than the product or service, or it's every bit as important. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that can provide you service, even similar service, but that can be part of your differentiator on your competition, yeah, is your level of customer service. And that's literally measured and cultivated in that customer relations block.
Yeah, that's really good. I'll give one quick example, because when I was in banking, we were really a high touch bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we really wanted people to come in the branch. We had chocolate chip cookies, Caribou coffee. We wanted everybody to come in and visit with us because we were about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty soon people started to come in and they said, when are you going to get online banking? And we were like, what do you mean? You don't, yeah, want to come in and see us?
Right.
But that was our customers, our target market, our customer segments, right, were communicating to us that they needed something more from us in the area of customer relationship, mm-hmm. and we did eventually launch that.
Cool.
But you can learn a lot from customers, yeah, and then that leads to channels.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have the revenue streams we've talked,
right,
about. And then,
right,
if we go on the other side,
yeah,
we've got the activities.
The key activities, what do you need to be doing right now in order to produce that good or service,
yep,
to deliver it? And below that, you have the key resources.
Mm-hmm.
What are the resources you need in order to execute those activities to deliver that product and service? And then on the very far left side, you have your key partners.
Mm-hmm.
And then your key partners are resources that you have, but you have to understand you don't own or control those.
That's a very good point.
Yes. And then below that is the cost, because all of that side of the canvas is where, yeah, your costs are actually realized.
Which is important to keep track of, right?
Exactly. And then it's simple math. You take the revenue, you subtract the cost. If you've got a positive number, you might have a business. If you've got, mm-hmm, a negative number, you've got a hobby.
Yeah.
And it's a question of how long you want to fund that hobby or turn it into a business.
Yeah, move it into that place of a business. Go ahead.
I just want to share one other quick,
yes,
observation, because the canvas laid out the way it is, and different people have said, well, is there a rationale for that? And one of the revelations, one of the beliefs that I have is, and I couldn't find this in the literature, but the further away from the center, the further away from the value proposition, the less control you actually have.
Interesting.
So you really don't control your customers, you influence them.
That's true.
You don't control your partners, you can influence them,
mm-hmm,
but you don't own or control those. But the channels and your relations with your customers, mm-hmm, you own or control that. The key activities, the key resources, you own or control that. And so the further out you get from that value, yeah, proposition, you have to understand your relationship is different, which then requires you to work a little differently in those areas.
Yeah, that's so good. Wow. So yeah. You can tell, like, this is a deep subject, right?
Yeah.
But we want to give you an overview. And also, I just want to let you know that the BMGC is available as a free download. If you go to wealthbuilders.org, and if you go into the search button, I think you can just put in like business model, and the blogs where we talk more about this will show up. Also, Billy's got a teaching on this on Wealth Builders University, which is a subscription site that we have. It's absolutely amazing. And you can learn more about that at wbuniversity.online. It's the best value in town. And then also we cover this in depth in the business masterclass, and obviously in business coaching. We actually are in it with you. And the BMGC, the business model, is part of the strategic business plan that we work with you on. But Ray, this has been really helpful. And I think a lot of people are going to be thinking like, wow, I need to take this step either with my current business or with a startup business.
Sure.
Any like final words you want to share? Anything in conclusion?
Well, the first investment you need to make is in yourself. And investing yourself and your dollars into, and your time into, Wealth Builders, where it's just a phenomenal resource that can help you and will help you along the way. And I'm excited to come on board and help out as a business coach.
That's
with
awesome.
Wealth Builders. I'm just excited and looking forward to working with any of you who are watching this. Be in touch with Wealth Builders and come join us. And
yeah, that's great.
We'll build business God's way.
Yes, we will. Well, we're thrilled to have you. And
you.
We do provide a 30-minute consultation to learn more about coaching. So you can go to wealthbuilders.org and you can click on coaching. Click on business, or if you're interested in real estate, and then you can set up a consultation to learn more about that. And we also have the real estate workshop that is coming up in October. Those always fill up fast. So if you want to be a part of that in person, or if you want to register online, go to wealthbuilders.org/events. Ray, thanks again for being a part of this.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Wealth Builders family, for tuning in. God bless you, and make it a great rest of the day.